Sarah was setting expectations. Rule 11, be humble in consolation and in desolation. Remember, we have sufficient grace, taking strength from God. Let one who is consoled seek to humble himself and lower himself as much as he can, thinking of how little he is capable in the time of desolation without such grace or consolation. And on the contrary, let one who is in desolation think he can do much with God's sufficient grace to resist all his enemies, taking strength in his Creator and in Lord. Ignatius is telling us we are in this cycle. And some of us, depending on our temperaments and personalities and proclivities to certain sins, might have more of a higher frequency, longer frequency, but the desolations will come, followed by the consolations, followed by this, you know, and so forth and so on. And so we're trying to make the consolations lengthen out, the desolations shorten, but the amplitude shrink down. Right. So we don't have these highs and lows, but more of a gradual walk in our spiritual life.
Right. Yeah, because there is some that balance that between the highs and the lows, you know, I still remember my mom saying to me, you know, never let your highs get too high or your lows get too low. Right. You know, you stop yourself from becoming euphoric and you prevent yourself from becoming depressive, right? Because there is an equilibrium where the soul is going to be able to do the most good. And that truly is one of the goals of this book, right? I mean, Ignatius wants to go out and set the world on fire for Christ, but you can only do that when you have a command of your own spiritual life. You cannot start somebody else on fire if you are not burning. And he, you know, and it's not really the hot match that's going to keep the fire lit, right? It's going to be those glowing embers that can endure through a cold night so that the fire can be stoked again. And the goal is to become that, is to become a glowing ember that sometimes looks gray on the outside and other times burns red hot. That's really our key, is to have that inner fire that is not maybe bursting in flame, right? We don't want to waste all of our energy on one high, but because, you know, then you use up resources that may be necessary for a longer spiritual battle.
That's right. Rule 10, when in consolation, prepare for desolation.
Yes.
And what will do when in it. So let the one who is in consolation think how he will conduct himself in desolation, which will come after, taking new strength for that time. So there's this, this, and that's, we should expect that living in a world of corruptibility, finitude, that sort of. Did you have excerpts you wanted to consider?
I don't really have any particular excerpts. I just find, I mean, you just have to engage with these. I mean, I think one of the other ones that I was looking at, I don't have any particular excerpts, but just the rules themselves. The one that I think is also really important for me is that, and you've gone through it well, is the spiritual desolation, right? When he's going through these rules, 5, 6, 7, and 8, he presents all of these different realities with these desolations, right? You know, that number one, it's a time for fidelity. This is not the time to be making any changes. The minute that you find yourself spiritually under attack is the minute to kind of hunker down and to reassess your resources and find out how you're going to fight your way out of this desolation, right? And that is the initiative that then you spring forward with, right? You hunker down, you're patient, And then you find this initiative and you think, okay, well, I could pray one more rosary, or I could go and make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, or I could just feed my children without complaint, right? Anything that pertains to your own personal state or vocation that is steady and that is a goodness, right? To do that next good thing, that is that moment of initiative that you can have in that minute of desolation or that moment of desolation. And then in doing that, when you have put yourself out to give yourself over to this initiative that is the counterweight, right? Because that's what we're always trying to do. Once we're in desolation, we're always trying to pull our soul back to consolation. When we're getting to consolation, it's always to keep that pendulum from swinging us too far into euphoria, so that when we fall back again, where it's not such a devastating drop, right? In that movement, right, you find, once you start giving yourself over to something else, you do begin to find that there is a natural strength that is given to you to resist what it was that you were doing, right? Because you stop focusing on that desolation, and in doing another good, you're given, right? It's like residual grace that suddenly comes back and fortifies you in this fight. And then to just not, patience is such an unusual thing at that moment, right? Because, and I think it goes along within the book that we had read before, Abandonment to Divine Providence. There's only one recorded time that I can think of where our Lord changed the time cycle of humanity, right? And that was when Our Lady specifically asked him to perform the miracle, right? But everything that our Lord does is done in its season and in its perfection. And to either rush it or to delay it is to do harm to us that we ought not do, right? So that patience becomes a consolation when we know that God's time is going to be perfect. And I, you know, hopefully from those things, when you're studying those desolations and how we resist them, I love the wisdom then of Ignatius, who in rule number 9, then and only then, after we've waded through those 4 rules, does he address to us why it might be that a good God would permit this for us, right? He doesn't lead with that. He doesn't say why God does those things. Because I think that he understands that when you've made it through those 4 rules and you've lived that life of those 4 rules, you've followed them with such intensity or with such sincerity, rule number 9 becomes self-intuitive.
That's correct. Well, friends, I ask that you please consider finding Father Gallagher. He can be found, just like I said before, and of course it's in my show notes here. Find Ignatius. Go to his.
You could ever make a spiritual retreat. There are a number of religious orders that do spiritual direction. Milus Christi. Sometimes you have to travel for these things, but one of the most profoundly beautiful elements of the spiritual exercises that you can go through on a weekend, and a lot of times they're not cost prohibitive, right? Many of these places have resources that could help people who may not be able to afford them, is that it allows you to separate yourself from the world, to kind of go into a desert, into a silent moment where you really can give yourself over to the pondering and the meditating upon these rules before you begin to apply them to your life, right? You should make an engagement with them, if at all possible, with a really good retreat director.
And that can't be overstated, a very good retreat director.
Yes, right.
That's right. Father, before I came across his advice, so I realized I was going to need the time to, right, the best... The time to put a roof on isn't in the middle of a rainstorm. The time to put the hay in the barn to feed the cows isn't when there's snow on the ground, right? The time to have really thought through, discerned, contemplated, how does this fit in my life, is not when we are in the midst of some sort of
crisis.
So that's that, thinking ahead. A good military man is not going to decide, oh, let's go fight a battle, if he has not stockpiled his armaments, his men, the supplies for his men, so forth, so on. You need pre-work to that. So don't let this moment of grace pass you by. This is one of these times, if you don't have the funds to buy a book or whatever, this one's, of course, a very good one. Podcast.
Yes.
About podcasts on each and every one of these rules, applications for it. There's no shortage of ways to get to this. All right. Till the next time, my friends. Fides Oratio.